He is the voice of hockey on NBC. Mike Emmerich is with us. Doc, how are you?
Bob, it's good to talk to you. We're not talking Big Ten football today, are we?
Oh, we could. What a beating those Buckeyes took. Oh, my God. Purdue beat the snot out of them. Anyway, let's leave that aside.
Hi, Doc.
Okay.
John Shannon's here, too. He's kind of...
I know. He's
sticking his nose
giggling,
in.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
With friends like you, Doc, I mean, come on, eh?
It's one of the rare times that the Buckeyes ever lose.
I can't
believe. At home or away.
Purdue? Honest to gosh. They're not even that
once
good.
Once in a while it happens.
Yeah,
we're excited to come to Winnipeg. I haven't been there in 22 years.
Well, I was going to say, this is a curious thing. Have you ever done a regular season game in Canada between two Canadian teams? I'll bet no.
I'm trying to remember. Not for NBC.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to remember back to our Fox days and other games that John probably produced. Well, I can't recall right now, but going back into the late 80s when I was working with John and we were doing games for Sports Channel, obviously we went to the final one year and it was Canada-Calgary in 89 and did the whole final series. But no, not regular season. I cannot recall it. But boy, is it ever going to be worth it. This is going to be fun for us. And to be a part of a Winnipeg home game, which is special, and to be a part of all of the things that we get a chance to share with the U.S. audience about both teams coming off franchise great years and having wonderful individual players and all of that, it's going to be exciting for us.
Well, I hope so, and I believe you, Mike, but I will say this, that we have a sense here that, you know, the U.S. networks have certainly largely ignore us north of the 49th. And we understand why. But is this going to be a game that you think will resonate with your audience, given that there will be essentially no home team for anybody in America?
Well, you have number 34 for Toronto, who was born in the States. You have 10 members of the Winnipeg Jets who are from the United States. You have Red Berenson probably salivating over seeing four of his former players in the lineup combined for the two teams. There are a lot of things that I think we can help any Americans that may not have anything to resonate with the two teams to be interested in. And no, this is a new thing for NBC in terms of doing this, but it's all a part of fanning out of the fact that there are people all across the country that haven't had a chance to see these players and these teams. And it's a part of extending through the rest of the NHL exposure for these teams in the United States. And regardless of what has been done in the past in terms of how many times those teams have been on, we want to make sure that this happens. And that's why we've gone to doubleheader Wednesdays and our second game's Tampa Bay, Colorado. And there is increased enthusiasm for the sport in these markets and with those teams. And we want to show more. And that's why we have our crew coming up there, and they go to at least one game a month. Our entire crew goes, and Jeremy Roenick's going to have a sit-down with Patrick Laine, and we're going to show people how unique it is in Winnipeg on game night. Now, they saw that last year in the playoffs because
right.
The fifth year we're going to show all the playoff games of all of the series. But I'm going on here, and you can interrupt me at any time you want and talk Michigan, Michigan State if you want
no,
to.
Please. Oh, God, no. Poo!
Hey,
no profanity, please.
About the prospect of being there.
So, Doc, are you telling me this is your first venture into MTS Center yourself? You haven't been there?
Yes.
Oh.
No, I was anticipating that it might happen last spring. Mm-hmm. But Vegas, especially after the first game when Winnipeg won, but Vegas kind of took care of that. And so instead of going up to Winnipeg, we wound up going to where the game five was 99 degrees and 10% humidity, which was not Winnipeg.
Well, to me, this the comparable building in the United States is Nashville, because the fans get into it. They are loud. They are the slope of the seats. They're right on top of you. It's as good a college atmosphere as you're going to find. So I think you will enjoy it, particularly compared to those old days that you and Billy Clement used to do at the old Winnipeg Arena when you were the visitor's feed.
I love the Winnipeg Arena, though, and you know why, because the broadcast booth hung over the near glass.
Right.
It was like Le Colisée in Quebec, and we always like being high and close because you can identify players. And that's always nice, too. And I'm told that the Winnipeg Arena at the current place where the Jets play is very good for that, too. So we will be spoiled, and we will be excited to be in a place that's really loud.
Hey, Doc, you talked about Austin Matthews. Do you think that do you think he transcends the border? I know he's American, but do you think hockey fans in New York and in Boston and Detroit, where you live close by, do you think they know Austin Matthews, or is he just something that we in Canada think is special?
Not as well as they will. And I think not as well as they will should we wind up with Olympics, because nationwide in the United States, there is always that extra pull at Olympic time that people, even in remote areas that may not watch hockey year-round, and we're trying to get them to watch October through the first weekend in April, not just at playoff time, but also I think that having the exposure of the Olympics will certainly help his cachet in the United States. But particularly being with a good team that might go beyond one round in the playoffs, I think the longer it goes, the greater his exposure is. And, you know, his skill in play and all of that goes without saying. But we're certainly going to help that along as best we can. And this sounds like, you know, we're trying to help the obvious, but we want to make sure that people know as much as they possibly can about this guy.
Sometimes we assume that this guy is totally unique. I don't think there's not much doubt in my mind that he is going to be regarded as the best player the United States has ever produced, at least until this point. I'm not sure he's there now, but I think he will be recognized as that. But if that happens, Doc, what kind of impact does it potentially mean in the U.S. in terms of building the fan base? Or do you think it really, in this day and age, with players from all over the world in the NHL and the NBA, it really doesn't matter much anymore?
No, I think it will have a great potential for that. And we've seen actually waves of this, but it's happened more with teams than it has with individuals.
Right.
And we saw waves of it come from the 80 Olympic team and also from the team that won the World Cup of Hockey. And you've seen another wave of players come up from the inspiration of those teams in the United States. But I think this is the potential for something great to happen, not only by him, but also by the other teams that have done very well in international play. But international play is recognized wonderfully in Canada with World Juniors and the World Championships each year. It still does not make a great impact on the radar in the United States.
Yeah.
Hope it does sometime, but it doesn't right now.
So let me ask both you guys this. Who would you say is the best American-born player to ever play in the NHL to date?
I'm letting Doc go first.
Oh, shoot. You can sure argue about Mike Modano and Brett Hull, even though,
yep,
you know, there's a dispute about that in terms of, you know, dual citizenship and all.
Brett Hull's American because Dave King didn't like him. And you know that,
yeah,
Doc.
We always leave out defensemen, and Chris Chelios is legendary. And
yeah,
we always leave out goaltenders, and you can talk about guys that, you know, that withstood pucks for years, and you can even draw in guys from the 30s and 40s, but they wouldn't stack up as being the all-time great legends. I guess the guys I mentioned, and I'll be interested in what John has to say, as I have always been Nipper listening for his master's voice.
Oh, God.
Hey, that's very kind of you, Doc. Actually, I have
checks
a bias.
In the mail,
I have a bias because I did. I have a bias because I worked alongside Mike Modano for a little while, and I think that Mike Modano.
Well, he'd be at the top, near the top.
To me,
top
Mike
of the
Modano
list.
Is at the top of the list of U.S. Yeah. foreign players, and I think in his time and his place, in the way the game was played, nobody was a better game changer than Mike Modano. And notice
at
I said, and notice, Doc, yeah. I said Mike Modano, not Mike Modano.
Yeah.
So
yes, you know, and I think you know, Austin will undoubtedly eclipse those marks at the rate that he's going. But, you know, this is what we have right now. And Mike was not only a magnificent player, but he was also very cooperative with us. And so people got to know Mike, and they got to know a lot about him because he was willing to give the time. Yep. And I'll never forget, Mike was also opinionative, and he stood up against the Players Association once when he was freight trained from behind and was injured and was out of action. And he saw the Players Association going to bat for the guy that did it, trying to lessen his suspension and trying to get his fine reduced. And he said, somehow or other, I think we have our wires crossed when they're not coming to my aid, but they're coming to the aid of the guy that did that. So, you know, you don't really see that happen a lot in history, but it did in his case.
I'm intrigued by what is happening in the two biggest markets in America. The Rangers don't look that good. The Islanders aren't going to be that good. And the Kings, I don't know how surprised you two guys are by this, but the Kings might be in real trouble. It's a little early to absolutely put that stamp on it, but the last few games, I'll grant it, all on the road, they've just been getting whacked night after night after night.
The last two were at home, Bob.
Well, the last two were at home.
7-2 to the Islanders, 5-1 to
my apologies.
Yeah, they.
Gosh,
go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
I thought
going into the start of the season, they looked solid to me, and I thought they were rewarding guys. They were trying to maintain an air of stability, and that it would pay dividends. But so far, it sure hasn't. It's gone the other way.
I think the frustration for them is that you talked to management there. They think they are a better team. They think they are better.
Are they? Do you?
Well, you know, when you add a goal scorer like Kovalchuk, and they're supposed to be healthy. Jeff Carter has not been the same since his injury, and so I'm not sure they are better. And when they've been let down by we talked about it when Mike Fuda was in, Bob. They've been let down by their second tier guys, Pearson, Toffoli, Kempe. They haven't carried the mail. And you can't rely on guys like Kopitar every night all the time. And with Dustin Brown injured, there's just something lacking.
Well, I just wonder how long they go on this way, or whether they, you know, if they shuffle the deck, do they go into a rebuild, or do they try and, you know, put a Band-Aid on it?
They have,
I know,
such big contracts.
I know. It's not going to be easy. And you could get the problem, Doc, is you can get stuck in the middle. And that's the great fear, is that you aren't good, but you can't move assets that you have to try and get young players who ultimately will make you better.
Yeah, you don't want to stub your toe too much early, because you can't win a horse race in the first quarter mile being sure to lose one.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether they're in that point. I guess we're a little early for that, but...
Yeah, you don't judge by October, but you can be concerned by October, but you don't judge by then, because I think we get some false positives and false negatives in October.
Well, have a great trip into Winnipeg. The great advantage, of course, is that it's still warm enough that you won't freeze. You know, Winnipeg in January, February can be a little chilly, if you know what I mean.
I recall that. I also remember going in there with the Flyers and Canadian Thanksgiving once, and it was just magnificent.
There you go.
And I'm expecting that is the kind of weather that we're going to see, but... as I long ago learned, and this sounds really super serious, I'm looking forward to it, because all you want is to have wonderful athletes to show people, and boy, are we going to have those.
Okay, Doc,
so
we're going to make you convert.
What I'm thankful for, that we're going in there and we're going to see some great athletes.
We're going to make you convert Fahrenheit to Celsius on Wednesdays.
Oh, God.
Great.
Yeah, good luck with that, Doc.
Thank you.
Always our pleasure. You're gracious with your time. We appreciate it. And have a great trip into Winnipeg. We'll talk again, I hope.
Thank you, Bob. Go Buckeyes.